Well, it's time to open up our Bibles. We've got Beth Seifert standing by with today's Bible study. Thanks for joining us, Beth.
Hey, Amy. Today, we're going to see how David handles this political nightmare that he is dealing with Joab having killed Abner, who was trying to unite all of the tribes under David for the kingship. So if you have your Bibles, go ahead and open to 2 Samuel. We're going to read chapter 3, verses 30 through 39 today. So Joab and Abishai, his brother, killed Abner because he had put their brother Asahel to death in the battle at Gibeon. Then David said to Joab and to all the people who were with him, "Tear your clothes and put on sackcloth and mourn before Abner." And King David followed the bier. They buried Abner at Hebron, and the king lifted up his voice and wept at the grave of Abner, and all the people wept. And the king lamented for Abner, saying, "Should Abner die as a fool dies? Your hands were not bound, your feet were not fettered. As one falls before the wicked, you have fallen." And all the people wept over him again. Then all the people came to persuade David to eat bread while it was yet day. But David swore, saying, "God do so to me and more also if I taste bread or anything else till the sun goes down." And all the people took notice of it, and it pleased them, as everything that the king did pleased all the people. So all the people and all Israel understood that day that it had not been the king's will to put to death Abner the son of Ner. And the king said to his servants, "Do you not know that a prince and a great man has fallen this day in Israel? And I was gentle today, though anointed king. These men, the sons of Zeruiah, are more severe than I. The Lord repay the evildoer according to his wickedness." So Joab and Abishai had plotted to kill Abner without a just reason to do so. Their brother died in war during battle. Abner was killed through deceit, in a time of peace and in cold blood. So David throws a wake for Abner. He's mourning the loss of this man, and he forces Joab, Abner's murderer, to join in the mourning. I'm going to bet Joab didn't like that one bit. So why is David doing this? Why is he throwing this funeral for Abner? Was his grief genuine or just for show? I think the answer is both. Yes, his grief was genuine, and yes, a portion of this was for the sake of the people. You see, David understood something the Apostle Paul would expound upon many, many years later. You don't cause a stumbling block for others if you can avoid it. That doesn't mean you don't speak truth, and we do see David speaking truth here, but it does mean that you do what you can to keep the focus off of yourself and on God. So David was grieving, but the lengths to which he goes to give Abner this state funeral were further than his grief alone would really warrant. Still, because of Joab's actions, David needs to distance himself from Joab's actions as much as possible. In mourning publicly for Abner, the people see that David sincerely is mourning, and they are also assured that David had nothing to do with Abner's death. The little song or eulogy in verses 33 through 34 is very interesting. David starts by reminding the people with the words, "His hands and feet were not bound," that Abner wasn't being treated as a criminal. Abner hadn't been captured and brought back for trial or execution. He was under no censure from David. His hands and feet were free, and had he known that he was being called back by Joab and not David, he could have defended himself. As it was, as we saw yesterday, Joab killed Abner in public, without any regard for what anyone walking by might have thought or said or done, and without any concern for how God would view his actions. David also lets the people all know that Joab was fully in the wrong here. As he says, "As one falls before wicked men," he is calling Joab wicked and pointing to the bloodthirstiness of Joab's crime and the deceit and treachery that Joab used to achieve his end. Remember, as David is saying all of this, Joab is standing right there. He's right there with David, listening to David mourn Abner's death and point-blank tell the whole community that Joab is responsible for Abner's murder. Yet Joab appears to be unmoved. How hard must his heart have been for him to hear all of this and see David mourning Abner and yet remain unmoved. As the people listen to David, and as they realize anew the injustice of Abner's death, fresh tears are shed. All that David does here, the people take notice of. They notice his oath of fasting, his conduct at the funeral, the sorrow that he showed at Abner's death, and the speech that he gave at the grave, which clearly laid out that Abner's death was murder. And the people are pleased. They were pleased at his concern for Abner's death, and they're also sure that he had no hand in that death. David is demonstrating an interest in the welfare of the people. He showed over and over again that he cared for them, for their needs, for their joys, and for their heroes. David won their favor, and the people saw everything David did as well done. David speaks to his men, and he holds Abner up as a great man. Then David contrasts Abner's greatness with the potential threat that is in the midst of the men in the form of Joab and his brother. They took action without the king's consent, showing their instability and the power of their wrath. David takes note of it as well, and he gives them over to God to deal with them. He knows that only God can protect him from Joab and his schemes, if Joab's schemes become directed at him. As I read through this passage, I'm struck by David's intelligence and his wiliness. We're told in the Bible that we are to be as shrewd as snakes and as innocent as doves, in Matthew 10, verse 16. Here, we see David using the intelligence that God gave him to demonstrate his innocence. We need to be on our guard, and we need to remember that part of being wise means avoiding, as much as possible, even the appearance of evil. That's what David is doing here. He was avoiding, in every way possible, any apparent attachment to the death of Joab. If you're surrounded by a group of people getting drunk, even though you're not getting drunk, guess what? When people see you, they're going to assume that you're getting drunk too, or that you're okay with everyone else getting drunk. If you're surrounded by people who cannot stop swearing, if you surround yourself with gossipers, liars, adulterers, idolaters, do you see a pattern here? Now, let me be clear. We are called to minister to as many people as we can reach. However, this is not an undercover assignment. You should not be blending in with the crowd as you teach others about Jesus. You should still stick out of the crowd, even while drawing the crowd to you, because of His light. God has given us amazing intellect, and He will help you to use it to glorify Him and to keep yourself from sin and even the appearance of it. I guess today I just ask you to take a look at how transparent you are before men and God. Do your actions say you're one of the crowd, while your words say that you're part of God? Perhaps it's time to take another look at your actions. There really and truly should be a difference, ladies. We should not be completely comfortable on this earth because it should not be our home. We need to keep our eyes on God and our hearts open to His leading, whether He's leading us away from something that we should be avoiding or leading us to others to share His love. Only you and God can work out that balance, but let me just say that you need to remember that the world is watching you. It wants to see where your loyalties lie and if you're consistent. Shine His light and let them know why you choose the light. And let them know who the source of that light truly is.
Well, thank you, Beth. And Beth's study guides, as well as the 10-minute podcasts of these presentations, are all available in our archives under the Bible Studies tab of our website, naomistable.com. Nancy and I will be back with more on this in just a moment.